Welcome to the Far From Shore podcast, where it's all about the Kraken and the community they play in. Welcome back to another Far From Shore podcast, everyone. I'm your host, Brayson, and I'm with my wife, Kimberly.
Hi, everyone.
All right. The Kraken regular season has finally come to an end, and I'm sad to see them not make the playoffs. And we've officially wrapped up the third season and came out with a middle-of-the-road 34-35-14 record. Still better than what we did the first season. What are your thoughts of this season?
My thoughts are overall disappointed.
I'm so disappointed.
Not gonna lie. I think that because of the season that we had last year, I was expecting a little bit more. And this season, I don't know if last year was just a one-off or what. I mean, obviously, this is only our third season, so.
Yeah. Exactly.
There's only so much that we can say. But yeah, I think a little disappointed because I knew what they came from and didn't see it as much this year. Definitely also disappointed in lack of consistency. Yeah.
Yeah, we started off the season pretty bad. We lost like a lot in a row. Mm-hmm. And we got into a groove. We got a good, I can't remember when we did it, but we had a nice little win streak going there.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Along with, it was around the time when the Oilers were also kind of winning as well. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I think so.
And they ended up going into like the longest win streak of their franchise this season.
Wow, yeah. I didn't know that.
So it was a lot of ups and downs. And definitely didn't live up to the standards of what they did last year.
Yeah, agreed.
Unfortunately.
But I mean, for me, hockey season is always awesome. Definitely sad that hockey season is over. Or yeah, at least, you
it's
know,
so sad to main just season. See. We had like 82 games, like two games a week on average for the last 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just sad to see it go because that's kind of like my routine.
Yeah, we sit down and we watch a game and then we go to bed.
When are the Kraken playing next? Who are they playing? What are they at? What are their odds? And it's over.
Yep.
So the Kraken, of course, yeah, they're going. They ended the season 34-35-13, still better than the first season, just to recap that. And unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of things to change. But before we get into that, who stood out to you the most, player-wise?
I mean, Yanni Gord is always still my number one. He played, I think, not as highlighted. Like, he wasn't as out there as he was last season, but I still think that he played very well, and he did his role well. I would say,
yeah, Yamamoto.
Yeah, that's the other person that really pops in my head.
Yeah, Yanni Gord wasn't like too much of a presence this time. He had a really low goal rate
compared to last season. Yeah,
compared to last season.
But yeah. I mean, he still played very well.
He wasn't too much of a hothead this time. If you notice that.
Yeah, which is funny because he is like one of the main players to get get in the PK box, the penalty box.
Yeah. And he started wearing his neck guard.
Oh, yeah.
Because this season, if anyone didn't know, we had a tragic,
accident and loss.
In a hockey world, unrelated to the Krakens in Washington in general, but an American player playing overseas got a skate to the neck, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of why Yanni kind of looks like he's wearing a turtleneck. He's wearing his neck guard.
Yeah, and there's a lot of players in the NHL that are using that similar style. I know that some players or the franchise in general was discussing if they were going to make it mandatory because of the the tragic accident. But I obviously it didn't come to fruition, but a lot of players were saying that they would implement that in their wardrobe.
Mm-hmm. So he didn't really stand out to me that much. I mean, Yamamoto also didn't really stand out to me that much.
But this was his first season with us, so.
Yeah, so we acquired Yamamoto from the Oilers, and it was a really hard transition for him. And he's kind of a ninja, is kind of what I'd describe him, because he's really quiet on the offense.
He's tiny, too.
He's like, tiny.
Compared to the other guys.
Yeah, and he can score goals.
Oh, yeah.
Just unfortunately, just there's no really that much chemistry between him and the players right now. I mean,
I think that their chemistry was good. Maybe they just didn't play as aggressively as they could. And overall in the season, you and I kept joking that they, and even on the Reddit, everyone kept saying that this team kept passing as if the coach, they were a high school team that the coach says, you can't shoot until you've passed 10 times type of situation.
Yeah, I remember that.
Come on, guys.
Yeah.
This is professional players. Make the shot.
Yeah, I remember seeing that. Like, shoot the puck, basically.
Yeah.
There's a... if you guys follow the Instagram, the Seattle Kraken Instagram. Also, if you didn't know, the Iceplex also has a place where you could go onto the ice. I think the Starbucks rink.
Mm-hmm.
And then you guys could... color on the rink, and then like do some artwork, and that's then just cool. Like give thanks or just like show your appreciation for the team. And one of the pictures said shoot the puck. Seriously, it was funny.
Oh,
because
man.
Yeah, I mean, next question here, what player didn't quite, you know, didn't impress us?
Jared McCann and Matty Beniers. Compared to last season.
Yeah, that's true.
There were plenty of players that I also felt that didn't, like Dumoulin, for example. I think his name is Brian. Brian Dumoulin. He didn't play.
But he's also new.
He's not new. He's
new to the team.
New to the team, yeah. But
and just like Yamamoto, he had a really rough transition.
Yeah.
And I think, yeah, you're right. Matty Beniers definitely did not impress me at all. The baby deer is what we call him on Reddit.
We think that, did everybody else call him that too on Reddit?
Yeah.
That's
kind of where I got it.
Oh, okay. Well, the reason why for people that are listening that we call him that is because at the very beginning of the season, he kept like slipping and sliding on the ice. As
he
if
still slips and slides.
Not as much though. Definitely not as much. But he'd be like standing up straight, and then all of a sudden he'd be like, whoops.
Yeah, it gets a little squirrely and he keeps falling down.
I think, and I kind of mentioned this at the beginning of the season, I think it was because he may have put on some weight at the beginning of the season, whether that was muscle or, you know, having a couple extra cheeseburgers, whatever it is.
Yeah.
But I think he may have gained weight, and I think, because he's been playing for a long time, so I wonder if he had gained weight and that made his, like, posture, I suppose, on the ice, if that made him feel different. And I wonder if that's why he was tripping everywhere. But he seems pretty confident in the interviews that he's had with several other people, including Hextall, not Hellstock, that he feels that this season or this summer is going to be his training season. He's gonna get back out there and he's gonna come back season 3 stronger than ever. So
I really hope to see that.
I hope so too,
because
he's young,
like,
so
everyone
he's
says
got the
it's
potential.
His sophomore year, and you know, I think the buzzword right now is a sophomore slump.
Mm-hmm.
And you could definitely see it. I mean, he scored on his hometown team, the Boston Bruins.
Oh yeah,
which was a sick goal.
I
didn't say my player who stood out the most, and it was Cartier.
Oh yeah, I knew
Cartier was just amazing. He has the most hits on the team. He creates offense. He's really fast skater. He kind of replaced Tanev, to be honest.
Yeah, Tanev at the very beginning of the season was out for quite a while, and that was pretty disappointing. And I also feel so bad because Tanev always takes the shots.
Oh yeah,
I don't know if that's just his role as
that's definitely his role.
Yeah, but still, he always gets like slapped in the ankle and you're like, Oof.
Yeah.
Sorry, buddy.
He takes one for your team, like, every game. Always does. Every period. Always every does. Play.
So, yeah. I do. I mean, yeah, I'd agree. Ty does have a presence on the ice.
And we acquired him in the playoff postseason last year, where he scored a goal in the playoff.
Yeah.
And he was really good, and that kind of...
cemented.
That cemented his spot into the regular season for 2023-2024. So I'm really glad for his addition into the Kraken team.
Mm-hmm.
And he really stood out to me. And there's really, I mean, just you look at him on the ice and you see it. Like, there's nothing to explain. Like,
yeah. Who was the most, who stood out the least for you?
Well, I really like what you said about Matty Beniers, but I can't really think about anyone else. The defense are rock stars.
Yeah.
Oh, well, Evans really stood out to me too. So I would say number one would be Cartier, and then number two would be Evans, Riker Evans.
Mm, who's not quite a cemented player, but he does come back and forth.
Yeah.
From Coachella Firebirds.
It's hard to say because... it was kind of just more of like a, what really bugged me was just the offense, really. And
which
it's
is
hard to pinpoint mm-hmm. who didn't really stand out to me.
Which is so weird because like our offense last year was so good. And individually as players, they're all great mm-hmm. players.
Mm-hmm.
And technically when you look at their scores, like how many shots and goals that they've all made like, pretty fair number of goals.
I would say Eberle then. Eberle didn't really stand out to me.
Yeah, but you always have like a...
He...
Not a hatred, that's too strong of a word.
He just bugs me.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so much hype around him. He, like, they had like his little like 1,000th game party and then people want him to be captain and then he hasn't ever won a Stanley Cup and... He plays very lazy. I call him the lazy dog. He plays very lazy at times, and then when he wants to play, it's like sometimes he turns over the puck a lot, and honestly, not a good fit if you're going to want to be a captain. But he's likable. He's very likable to the team.
I think he's knowledgeable. It always seems like whenever there is a ref, he's always in discussion with the ref. I think that he's a really good assist. I think that he's, to be completely honest, I think he's actually the most consistent player on the team because he's not excellent. He's not bad. I think he's fairly consistent.
Mm-hmm,
so
mm-hmm.
as much as you dislike him, I think he's actually one of the most consistent players on the team, okay. Ironically.
Yeah. All right.
But.
A way to play devil's advocate.
I mean.
I think differently.
And that's okay.
And
we can have a difference of opinion.
Yeah. So. And obviously, I'm going to ask this. Well, not obviously, but best game of the season and the worst game of the season. So everybody knows that the best game of the season was the Winter Classic.
Oh, that was awesome.
By far.
That was super cool. So we won. It was outside of the T-Mobile Park. They had these cool jerseys. That was awesome.
It was awesome. Yeah. So the Winter Classic was played at the Mariners Arena, the baseball mm-hmm. field, outdoors against the Vegas Golden Knights, and we won.
Mm-hmm.
Take that, Vegas. And I think it was pretty awesome just because it was just all Seattle stuff.
Well, and it was super cool because... As our listeners know, we have family in Washington, and Dad had told me that the entire arena was sold out, which is crazy because T-Mobile Park is the baseball field, and that field is big.
It's massive.
I mean, just like any most other baseball fields, but that was big.
But it was packed.
It was packed.
We had some guy, I'm forgetting his name. He was a kid. He played the national anthem on his guitar, electric guitar. That was sweet.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Something I didn't know, Sir Mix-a-Lot was from Seattle, and he ended up doing something. And then they wore scrubs, not scrubs, those sea sailor. I used to wear them when I used to, you know, sling fish at Whole Foods.
Oh yeah, that was so cute at the very beginning. Yeah, they're
fishermen,
like
onesies.
Oh my gosh,
I don't. They're Grundins. I don't know, for everyone who doesn't know, Grundins. It's like those things.
Waiters.
There you go, Grundin waiters. I didn't even know
they were so
for
cute,
everyone
though.
Who doesn't know.
Well, and then the Vegas Knights, they all dressed up as Elvis.
Yeah, that Elvis impersonators. So it was great. I mean, hats off to them. They rock that.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Now I'm just looking at different, you know, different games. Like, we won it back in January. We won 7-4 against the Columbus Blues. I mean, just we won 7-1 against the Blackhawks one game. Like, come on. Those are some pretty good games.
Those games are like 7-1
against San Jose Sharks. Yeah, but still, we did have a pretty bummer of a 5-1 loss by the Colorado Avs. So
yeah,
you
so
know, I'm just trying to look at different.
And then the games. Second part to the question.
Yeah.
The worst game.
That's what I was looking for.
And I already know.
Oh.
It's the loss against the Sharks.
Yeah.
We could beat the Vegas Golden Knights, but the best we can do is lose to the Sharks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. In our first game against the Sharks,
yeah,
which is in November, we won 7-1.
Yeah.
And then we lost against them? What happened that night, guys?
Seriously. And
who broke up with their girlfriend? I'm just kidding.
Not even.
I'm just kidding.
Not even. It's a great segue into what I'm really going to talk about.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready.
And obviously, we have a lot to change this season. But right now, the Kraken have the biggest skeleton in their closet. We can't generate a good offense. And we can't generate a good offense consistently. We had a winning streak run, you know, when we snapped our little early season game losing streak. And, you know, who's to blame here? It's obviously the offensive coordinator. So
that's your opinion. We don't want to say obviously because it, you know.
Well, yeah, because, you know, the coaches don't put pucks into the net.
No. It's but the guys, but technically, yeah, you're right. It's the coaches that are
the players
ones.
Don't draw up the offensive scheme.
Yeah.
So what change do we want to see in the offseason? I really want to see the offensive coordinator leave, to be honest.
What's his name?
His name is Paul McFarlane. I don't know if he has a connection to Seth MacFarlane, the creator of Family Guy and American Dad.
Probably not, but
yeah, so for anyone who doesn't know, McFarlane, our assistant coach, is the mastermind behind our atrocious offense and special teams play. McFarlane is a product of our northern neighbors, Canada, and played his hockey in the OHL and OPJHL. OPJHL.
What does that stand for?
It's the Ontario Hockey League Juniors.
Got it.
Yeah. So McFarlane, unfortunately, didn't end up making it to the NHL. So he's not an NHL player.
Interesting.
Exactly. My thoughts exactly. So this is kind of going to be a really brief introduction and history to Paul McFarlane, our assistant coach, mainly who does our offensive coordination. He started off small and went to the Oshawa Generals, a junior hockey team in the OHL from 2012 and 2014 as an assistant coach. A head coach at the Kingston Frontenacs in OHL Juniors and Kingston, which is Cartier's hometown. So he was at Kingston as a head coach from 2014 and 2017. Then landed himself in an NHL assistant coaching spot from 2017 through 2019 with the Florida Panthers.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty interesting stuff right now. While at the Panthers in 2017 and 2018 season as an assistant head coach, he had a record of 44-30-8 record and did not qualify for the playoffs for the Panthers. In 2018 and 2019 season, he managed to make a worse record of 36-32-14. And yes, he didn't make the playoffs again at the Panthers. So after two seasons with the Panthers, he was booted and found his way to the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Okay. Now, how was their season that year?
Okay, here we go. At the Toronto Maple Leafs, he acquired another assistant spot and only coached a season during 2019 and 2020. That year was his best year thus far, he qualifying the Leafs for the playoffs and eventually losing in the conference qualifying round. I don't know what the record was. I could probably find it, but I don't think I went too far deep.
That's interesting.
And then kind of this is the weird part. He resigned the position. So he left the NHL with reasons unknown. So
when did he come back to the Seattle Krakens?
I'm getting there, actually.
Okay, great.
So we're going to keep...
I'm ready.
Yeah, let's keep going on down to this timeline here. So Paul McFarland, after resigning, he found his way back to the NHL or... found his way out to the NHL and back into the OHL as a head coach again. So I'm pretty sure maybe he like...
maybe somebody offered it to him on the side.
Yeah, he offered him more money and then he went to become a
head coach. Or just an opportunity to be a head coach.
Yeah. But however, that team that he went to, I can't remember what the team was. That season was canceled due to COVID.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So... think of it,
that kind of is a bummer for him.
Yeah, head coach took a head coach spot, and then possibly canceled. Rumored to had left because of this spot from the Maple Leafs.
Mm-hmm.
So all this brings us to present day, where he signed with the Kraken back to the NHL
2021. Then
2021 as an assistant coach of a brand new organization. He has been with the Kraken for three seasons now and has coached us to a last place finish in the inaugural season with 60 points and a record of 27-49-6.
I did not know that.
Yeah.
So we did bet worse than the Sharks and even like the Blackhawks?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, we did pretty bad. Yeah. his second season with the Kraken, obviously, everyone knows, is a very historical season, racking up a league first in winning 7 straight on the road games. He got us to our first playoff, and we beat the reigning champs, the Colorado Avalanche, in the first round, but got kicked out in the second round to the Dallas Stars. So we ended
up... good season, though.
Yeah,
good season.
Good season. We ended that season with a 46-28-8 record. And obviously, that comes down to... the season we just ended in the third season, ending it in a 34-35-14 record. And what place did we... do you know what place we got? Yeah, I can't remember either. So everyone, recap, he's the assistant coach and reports to Hackstall and Hackstall only. His main job is designating plays and coaching our forwards. So in football terms, for anyone new to hockey, he is the offensive coordinator and the offensive coordinator for special teams. He coaches teams to the playoffs. So he could bring us to the playoffs. So very up and down career with this guy. He's very inconsistent with his results and, you know, and that showed throughout this season so far. This could be a hot take for a lot of people. It's, you know, probably the majority of the people. Because a lot of people like to blame Hackstall, but not really the assistant coach. Or they might, I don't know, we'll see. So I think, you know, McFarlane needs to put in his 2 weeks. What you got pulled up?
25th.
We finished 25th of the season?
Yeah.
Out of 32?
Yeah.
That's real bad.
Yeah.
So for everyone looking for hard statistics, you know, this really isn't the place for you. You can go down to NHL.com and look for yourself. You know, this.
I'm also looking at the Kraken app right now.
Okay.
But
this is coming from a regular dude. You know, I'm just a regular dude, guys.
And I'm just a regular lady, guys.
And I really think that, you know, the changes need to be made are the coaches. And I think 80% need to be coaches, because we've seen that the players that we play with, all of the guys that we have right now, can score goals.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what happened. I don't know if he changed his scheme or not. You know, our defense is fine and could use a little work. You know, I'm talking to you, Dumoulin.
But I'm
going to, you know, retract that, because Dumoulin is doing very well now. Very well.
Part of me wanted to think that maybe they were tired at certain points of the season.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is like, I've talked about this before. These are professional players. This is what they do for a living. So, like, I don't mean to be rude, but it's just kind of like, you, like, yes, you might be tired, but you've got to, like, keep going.
They have the skill as a professional player, but the offensive coordinator mm-hmm. these kind of people into, okay, this guy knows how to pass this way. This person knows how to score.
Is he the one that also creates the lines?
More than likely he has a word in it, but, you know, I think it might be just Hextall.
Oh, okay. Because I was wondering that too. Like, I wonder if he's just not creating the good dynamics of the lines. Because sometimes we'll be like, man, that's a really good line. And other times you're like, that's mm-hmm. weird.
Lots of sloppy passes. So there's like, throughout the season, we like to throw passes like across the defense, and then they will just snag it.
Come on, guys. Like, yeah.
What are you doing? You know, the passes that should have been shots.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Okay, so you as a player, so for anybody that doesn't know, Brayson played lacrosse in high school. So I'm just curious, as a player on a field, and your coach is telling you things, have you ever, in a moment, been like, that's a stupid call, I'm going to do something else?
Yeah, in some ways, yeah. Sometimes, but then what happens is that sometimes they draw up a plan,
mm-hmm.
but then it doesn't really go to plan. So sure. You kind of have to improvise.
Yeah.
But like when you're setting up an offense, yes, generally you have to like do what they say, because, you know, it does work at times,
mm-hmm.
but then the limiting factor, or like, you know, is not the limiting factor, but like the, what do you call that, you know, in science where you have the,
oh,
whatever. Oh, God. Guys, please help me. What am I talking about?
Like your lowest variable?
Yeah, variables. There you go. That's the word, variable. The variable is the defense. Depending on what the defense does, how good they are, that's dependent on how the plays work. Does that make sense?
I think so.
So,
see, I played tennis and I ran in high school, so yeah. I have no team.
Individual sports are hard because you rely on yourself. And you're the one who makes the decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, you know, you have your coaches on the sideline too. But it, like team sports, you want to make, there's a lot of choreography involved.
Yeah.
And McFarland's choreography, like dance choreography, sucks. It's very stiff. It's very boring. It's not exciting. It's not fast.
Yeah, I was going to say, the guys don't seem motivated. They don't seem excited on the ice. They don't seem encouraged, even.
It just doesn't look like a well thought out offense.
Yeah.
And there's so many things that you could say about it. There's so many things that you could, that other people could add on to like what we're saying, but it's the elephant in the room. We suck at offense, and we are,
which again just sucks, because it's like we have such great offensive players.
Yeah.
So it's like,
there's an article on the Seattle Kraken app where somebody asked a question. It's like, hey, I know you said in the beginning of the season that you need to focus on your defense, but this is, it was around the time where the offense was sucking, and then they asked Haxtell why.
Mm-hmm.
And
like, why focus on the defense when the problem is the offense?
Yeah. I didn't really fully read it because I kind of got really raged and I was just like, oh, the season's over. Why do I need to like dig into it? But I should have. And honestly, I mean, good. I mean, if they were focused on their defense, the defense looks amazing.
Yeah. I also think it's interesting because we were watching a game. I think Minnesota, this last game that we had, and I don't mean to be jumping, but the only reason why I bring this up specifically is because Leah Hextall, who is one of the ESPN reporters, she was talking about, you know, of course, people are discussing who is, like, there needs to be changes in the team, and a lot of the times, teams within the NHL will just be like, get the main coach out, like, kick him out. And a lot of the times there are some teams that will just do it mid-season, and even you and I were kind of like expecting this to happen mid-season, and it didn't. And then Ron Francis, he said, nope, we're going to reevaluate at the end of the season. And then Leah Hextall pretty much said that she's like, I don't see him leaving at all. I think he's completely safe. I don't see a change in our, you know, general manager, or, you know, our head coach position. I'm just kind of like, really, lady? I think it's actually because supposedly in another game, she was saying how her husband and Dave Hextall played together in college, I believe.
She might have misspoked, and then like her husband's like, dude, why are you saying that about my friend?
Yeah, right. Like, yeah. I wonder if maybe the reason why she says, oh no, I think he's totally fine, is because she's biased towards him.
Oh, probably.
Maybe.
So I have a few speculations here, to include player chemistry on why our offense sucks and lack of, you know, offensive aggression. So, you know, we keep changing lines.
Yeah.
And throughout the season, I feel like they're just trying to scramble to just try to figure out any chemistry between anybody.
Yeah, but that it doesn't allow for relationships to solidify.
Well, they should have like a whole team relationship, you know?
They need some team bonding.
Yeah, they do. They need to go play beach volleyball just like Top Gun.
They need to go do putt-putt together.
Yeah, seriously. But honestly, so they keep changing offense, trying to find chemistry. But the only time I ever saw real good chemistry was when Jordan Eberle and Matty Beniers finally split.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And Shane Wright was in. So kind of towards the end of the season. Because when Shane Wright went in on Eberle's line, along with, who am I talking about? Maybe Tolvanen. Somebody, some rando that I can't remember.
Probably Tolvanen.
Shane Wright was scoring goals.
Shane Wright made 3 goals while he was in, at least.
So Eberle loves the young men. He loves to be around young guys who could shoot the puck for his assists. And Matty's not doing that right now.
Mm.
And Matty ended up going on a Burakovsky and someone else.
That was a good line, though.
I keep forgetting the third guy. Yeah. So, a lot of imbalances. So, for example, you know, we have Gordon Tanev as well. Gordon Tanev and Cartier. You have the 3 fastest skaters on the team on one line.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone else is slow. You have Burakovsky, who's very fast. He's an awesome skater. But then, like, you know, your really hard hitters, you know, your difference makers, Cartier, Gordon, Tanev on one line.
That's a good line.
Yeah, super electric guys, but they have them all condensed into one line. So shit like that. So I'm not saying that it's all Paul McFarland's fault here. So for you haters out there, I know Paul McFarland doesn't put pucks into the net. But being a coach at the highest level, you know, the NHL is tough. And, you know, you expect your players to put pucks in the goal. So, you know, when your team is winning games, your players are praised tremendously. But then when your team is losing games, everyone looks at the coaches.
It's all about leadership.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because leaders will always be the ones to take the blame or always be the ones that people finger point and they say, you're the reason why. But then again, as a leader, you're supposed to be humble. And if a leader, or if somebody, a team, or, you know, is doing well overall, the leader is not supposed to be the one that takes that. Do you know what I mean? I'm trying to think of the word, but like, they're not the ones that are supposed to be like, yeah, it was me. Leaders are supposed to be humble, but leaders are always the first to be blamed.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's a lot of stuff that we could talk about, you know, including, well, not including the offense. You know, every team is striving for consistency and reliability, both from players and coaches. Some do it way better than others. Some do it worse. And, you know, they can't, you know, they can't find the sauce even if they could afford it. So it's kind of unfortunate. So should we roll the dice and just get rid of this guy, Paul McFarlane?
I think also another good point to bring out that you had mentioned to me that I did not hear you say is that McFarlane and Haxtell know each other. Like, obviously.
I couldn't find how they know. I think it was Vancouver's that they know each other.
The Canucks?
Yeah, I think so.
But you had told me before that they have coached together. So,
yeah.
I wonder if a reason why he was brought in is because Haxtell knew this guy. And he's like, hey, let's, you know, coach together. And I don't know if the departure of the assistant coach is dependent on the general manager or if it's dependent on the head coach.
I think it's definitely dependent on the general manager.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I wonder, I don't know, maybe the entire issue is Ron Francis, because Ron Francis refuses to fire people. I mean, I'm just saying that he is, like I said, like, he's like, oh, let's just reevaluate this at the end of the season, and he's not making any radical changes. Like, why? You know what? Just do it. Just make the change. Whether that be let go Dave Haxtell or even let go Paul McFarland. Come on, guys. We need to change. So, and we know that these players are good players. And, like, sure, these two coaches took us to the playoffs last season, but we had incredibly long lose streaks multiple times. So, I don't know this Ron Francis man. He may be a nice guy, but I think he's playing a little...
Well, actually, maybe I don't think he is.
Managing a little conservatively.
I don't think he might be the one, like, doing the firing and hiring. Maybe, I don't know. Because he actually has assistants. So there's assistant general managers and stuff. But
of course he could make that decision.
But there's also owners, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And like I was saying, like, offline, that the owners is a group of people instead of a solely one person.
Oh, yeah. Like, well, other owners, I think they're mainly financial owners, like Lynch.
Yeah, so, and Marshawn Lynch, McLemore.
I don't think they're sitting on board meetings being like, let's get rid of Dave Haxtell. Come on, those guys have their own careers.
Yeah.
But, I don't know.
All right, so something I want to circle back on, actually, is that the players. So, obviously, there's going to be player changes throughout the offseason. More than likely, Shane Wright is going to be a part of the team. He's going to generate a good offense. So he's going to kind of be like, you know, that old Matty Beniers type deal where he has something to prove going into the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to definitely be like...
Bring some fresh energy.
Exactly. Bring some fresh energy. Matty probably going to stay. So a couple other people that you think might leave...
Oh, I don't know. It's so hard to say, to
I'm
be honest.
I'm seeing it a lot on Reddit. So we got number one, Belmar is definitely more than likely people are saying is going to leave just due to the contracts.
Okay. I wonder if he would just retire in general, but...
Yeah. Well, he's only played 700 games.
Yeah, but he's in his 40s.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I'm pretty sure he's in his 40s.
Okay. And then...
He's older than Larsson is.
And there's because, one yeah, more anyways. Player that people are saying, and I don't want it to happen, is Yamamoto.
Oh, yeah. You were saying that because he had only signed a one-year contract?
Yeah, you, and you saw that on TV. It was a restricted free agent.
Yeah, that was RFA. A little confusing.
Yeah, so but, unrestricted from restricted. So the only organization that are able to re-sign him
is the own team.
Is the own team, I believe. And then other than that, he may just be put on like a free market or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, now that the official season is over, I wonder if they're going to start re-signing and selling or trading, players. So I'm curious. I mean, we'll start knowing within the next like month or so, I would say, who's coming in and out.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'll be curious as well.
So there's a lot of people that are going to be coming in. There are going to be a lot of people coming out. Coaches, players. So the whole ordeal.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm afraid of is, you know, new people that are young. And like I was saying offline as well, I don't want a new kid coming in. I may have said this in the last podcast, but I don't want a new kid coming in who thinks he's hot shot shit and then trying to like create everyone should pass the puck to him. He's going to be like that, you know, electric goal scorer and stuff like that where, you know, he's not passing the puck. And like, I don't think the Kraken are looking for that, and they know that they're not looking for that.
Yeah. I also think that, not necessarily to say anything against the AHL, but we get a lot of our new players, like in our young players from the AHL. And so obviously those guys are playing at kind of a lower capacity, I would say, and they themselves are needing to get up to the NHL pace itself, if that makes sense. Whereas these like fresh kids that are coming straight off of like, I don't know, university picks or
the NFL draft.
Yeah, exactly. Pretty much like the NHL draft. You said NFL. I mean, that'd be crazy.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, exactly. The NHL draft themselves, like, that's a different story in itself. And those are good players, good young players, but those are, yeah, usually hot shots that are coming in. And I don't know. I'm just curious. I kind of would like to see a better trade of more veteran players, such as Tomas Tatar. He's a great trade that we had
I don't think
mid-season.
I agree with you, but I don't think they should be that old. I think they should be like... Because when we traded Alex Winberg to the New York Rangers, now he's doing great. Now he's like...
In
the playoffs, in the very top team.
Yeah.
So like players like that coming to our team, where they have good amount of experience, play very well, but have... so many years left to play hockey. And do you know what I mean?
Do you think that coming to the Kraken is a step down? Is that what you're saying?
No, what I'm saying is we need to acquire players who have who have experience.
But have more years to play.
I understand now.
Sorry, I got confused. I was like, wait. Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I can't think... But again, we talked about this last episode, or maybe two before, of like who would you bring onto a team? And I think that I had named several big players that we just know that they would never be traded to us. So...
Yeah.
They're just what's his name? The Capitals guy.
Alex Ovechkin.
Ovechkin.
He was never coming.
But no. What I'm saying is he is a player that he is Capitals. Or Sidney Crosby is at the Penguins and will always be at the Penguins for the rest of his life, most likely. And so there's players that are around the NHL that is their team. They are not going anywhere. And what we need is we kind of need like a big star to come in and kind of like shape up the team. But because those stars are solidified in their teams, there's not going to be...
That's Yanni Gourde. Yanni Gourde is staying forever. I really...
You think so? You think Yanni Gourde is our main guy?
You need him to transition from an assistant to captain next year.
I agree.
And that's one thing we need to change.
100% agree. Yeah, that is actually a good, fair point of what needs to change next season. I think we need a captain on the ice. An actual captain on the ice.
And that is not Jordan Eberle.
Please, no.
Please, no. Why would you have a captain who hasn't won an NHL or hasn't won a Stanley Cup?
I think you raise a fair point.
He doesn't know what it takes.
Yanni Gourde... Andre Burakovsky.
Burakovsky should be an assistant. Assistant.
Yeah, he's not now, but I'd agree with that. I know that
because
it'd be a step down to not be an assistant anymore, to like say take Eberle off of assistant and then give that to Burakovsky. But
Burakovsky, you know, just needs to stay healthy. Sure, we could, you know, inflate Eberle's ego and have him stay assistant.
Sure.
But I don't think that's a good call. And I think it's the wrong choice that we extended his contract.
I think it's fine. I think it's fair. I think that he's a fair... I've told you, I think he's a consistent player. I think that
he has sentimental value just because he started in the first year. That's it. And he's going strong, just like Yanni Gourde. But he doesn't get as much publicity as Yanni Gourde.
Which is weird. That's fair. That's weird.
Yeah, and it really pisses me off, actually. Like, I don't understand. Of course, yeah, Eberle was...
You know what would be so funny?
What?
It would be super awesome if one day we, like, met them, and then you met Jordan Eberle, and he was, like, a super cool guy. Anyways, besides Eberle being a change to the team, are there any other changes that you would like to see for the next season, whether it be coaching... Or
no, otherwise. I think I've said it all. And I think I got my point through.
Well, we will see now what will happen between now and beginning of season 4 for the Seattle Krakens.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Exactly. So we ended off the season pretty strong.
Yeah.
We ended off a season with a win against the Minnesota Wild.
Mm-hmm.
What was it? 4-2?
4-3.
4-3. It was a very close game. They scored on a one man up advantage and went empty net.
And that's what gave us our fourth.
That's what gave them their third. If you could remember, they went up and then almost at the minutes left.
Mm-hmm.
I was like screaming at the top of my lungs, don't let another goal in.
Yeah.
And... It was almost bad. What are you thinking about?
No, our fourth goal was an empty net goal, though.
Oh.
By Yanni Gourde.
Yeah. The empty net was by Yanni Gourde, but I'm saying they went on empty net and added a sixth skater to their team.
Okay.
And then they scored their third goal.
I understand.
Yeah. So, it was a good game.
No, it was really good. I don't know if there's any other listeners out there that are superstitious with their attire while watching, but I was wearing my sweater and Brayson was not wearing his sweater. And I looked at him and I said, you need to go put your sweater on right now.
And I put on my sweater and we won the game. Yeah. So Yanni ended up scoring two goals, two nice breakaway goals. And that kind of solidified to the entire team that he's a good leader. He's a good goal scorer. He has good puck management, all that stuff. I'm riding Yanni's dick so hard right now. But yeah, so we ended that, and then that was last Thursday, and we're done with the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's off to the playoffs. So if you guys don't already have the NHL bracket all set up, I have the Avalanche winning the entire thing this year.
I do too.
Yeah. Well, because I do have a soft spot for the Colorado Avalanche because we live in Denver, Colorado.
And that's really the team that got me interested in hockey in the first place.
Yeah. And then we found out that the Seattle Kraken were a team.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
So, yeah, we watched the entire championship through 7 games. So
it was, Would you like to go through the bracket? Like, who has who picked out for bracket?
Yeah, you can go first.
Okay, I have my bracket pulled up. Okay, so Dallas against the Vegas Knights. I have the Dallas Stars winning. For the Winnipeg Jets versus Colorado, I have the Colorado Avalanche going.
Wait, hold on. Mm-hmm. Before we go on to that, mm-hmm. let's go on to the West, just Western. So, who made it to the Western round?
Yeah, so that's LA Kings, Edmonton Oilers, Nashville Predators, which is weird because they're not Western, but they're in the Western.
They're Central, that's why.
Yeah, it's weird. Vancouver Canucks, Colorado Avalanche, Winnipeg Jets, Vegas Knights, and Dallas Stars.
Mm-hmm. And then on the Eastern side, we got the Floridas. Mm-hmm. We got both Florida teams. So we got the Florida Panthers. We got the Tampa Bay Lightnings, Boston Bruins, Toronto Maple Leafs, the New York Rangers, Washington Capitals, Carolina Hurricanes, and lastly, the New York Islanders.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go. So you said Western?
Yep, Western.
Where did you leave off?
Vancouver Canucks versus Nashville Predators, I have Vancouver Canucks winning. Edmonton Oilers, I have LA Kings.
Wait, why do you have the Vancouver Canucks winning?
Because they've been doing fantastic this season.
So has the Nashville Predators.
Also, I'd rather the Canucks win.
Yeah, I put the Canucks to win too.
Because, I mean, Canada.
Why are you starting at the very bottom? Let's go at the very top where it's Dallas and Vegas Golden Knights.
I already went over that.
Oh, who do you have winning?
I said Dallas Stars.
Yeah, so did I.
And then I said Winnipeg Jets against the Colorado Avalanches. Colorado Avalanches winning.
Okay, I'm sorry I missed that.
Oh. It's okay, don't worry. So then, going back from the top, second round pick. And then it asks you how many games you think they would... It takes for them to win, but
what about the first round on the East?
Oh yeah, I can do that. That's a good point. So, Tampa Bay Lightnings versus the Florida Panthers. I have Tampa Bay Lightnings winning.
I have the Florida Panthers winning.
Well,
Yeah, Kimberly's dad is from Tampa Bay.
Yeah,
technically.
Well, my parents are from Florida, but yeah.
Yeah, they're from Florida. He's technically from. Fort Lauderdale?
No.
Wait, why did I say Fort Lauderdale?
No, he's from... St. Petersburg.
St. Petersburg. I knew it. It was some sort of Russian team or a Russian city.
So do you have Dallas or Vegas Knights winning? Sorry, guys. We're a little over the place.
I had the Dallas.
You have Dallas Stars winning. And you said you had Colorado winning for your first round, correct?
Well, yeah, because Colorado's going to win the entire thing.
Well, that's what I'm saying, confirming. So then you said you also have Vancouver Canucks winning, and then Oilers or LA Kings.
Who LA Kings, because I hate the Oilers.
just laughing. And then you said you put the Panthers up. I put the Lightnings up, so.
Yep.
Boston Bruins versus Toronto Maple Leafs.
Toronto. And we watched that game. Oh, my God. The first, God.
Yeah. I put Boston Bruins going on, and the Boston Bruins slapped the Toronto Maple Leafs in the face.
So the Boston Bruins came out hot.
Hot. See, that's the kind of team dynamic that our Krakens need right now, is because when they made that first goal, that team acted like that was a winning goal. And what I mean by that is that, like, it was just...
It's the first goal of the playoffs.
It is, and that's awesome. And I think it was that,
of course, okay,
that guy's first NHL playoff.
I disagree.
Why?
I think Boston Bruins is doing very well. It's because they have bigger players. Our team so small,
but they have the potential to be big. This is our third year, and the Boston Bruins have been there since the beginning, pretty much.
Yeah, so we went to the playoffs last year.
I'm just saying that the Boston Bruins have a bigger dynamic than we do.
Okay.
A stronger dynamic, because they're a historical team.
Yeah.
And we're still getting there. This was only our third team, so I'm just saying that the connection that they have on the ice, the way that they treated each other, and I'm not saying that our guys don't treat each other well. I think that they do treat each other well. I'm just saying that that connection was, they just looked so excited when they made that goal, and it was awesome.
Well, they look cohesive. Besides the celebration, which I think that should be discounted, because every celebration should be celebrated like that, or every goal.
Sure.
Every first goal of the playoffs should be celebrated that, but you know, the job's not over.
Yeah.
You still have.
Well, they still won.
At least like 3 games left.
Yeah.
Or 4 games left. So, it's just the team dynamic. They know how to do things. They beat the Toronto Maple Leafs. They beat the best goal scorer in the NHL.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
So yeah. Let's move on there. I have the Toronto Maple Leafs winning.
And then, like I said, I have
just Boston because Bruins. The Boston Bruins got shit on last year.
So then, New York Rangers versus the Capitals.
I have the Rangers winning.
I have the Rangers winning as well. Carolina Canes versus the New York Islanders.
I have Carolina.
I have New York Islanders.
What the fuck?
I think I actually looked at their stats.
Okay.
And I looked, I don't know it off the top of my head, but yeah. When I looked at it, it looked like New York Islanders had a better stat. And I think also their top score, their top scoring player had a way higher score than the Canes, if that makes sense.
Okay.
Yeah. So it was like the top scorer was like 100, and then I think the Canes, the top scorer for them was like 60. I was like, that's a big difference. So that's kind of what leaned me towards the Islanders versus that.
Absolutely.
So now second round.
But I really do think that, you know, once the playoffs start, everyone's back to zero. Doesn't matter what they did in the regular season. The regular season was just a prerequisite for them to come here. Yeah,
but this is just what helps me set my bracket.
Okay, so that's kind of your logical explanation.
When I don't know the teams, yeah.
Okay, so the Dallas Stars against the Colorado Avalanche. We're going to move from that because everyone knows
we want the Colorado. We both know that we said Colorado.
Colorado. We got the Vancouver Canucks for me and the LA Kings. And I have the Vancouver Canucks winning that.
And then, like I said, Vancouver Canucks versus the Edmonton Oilers. And I said Vancouver Canucks.
Go Vancouver.
We'll see.
Okay. So for my second round, I have the Panthers going against Toronto.
And I have Tampa Bay Lightning going against Boston Bruins.
Who's winning that?
I put the Tampa Bay Lightning.
All right. Well, I got Florida. And Florida's winning it. Florida, well.
So you well, think a on. Florida team. I also, like I said, I also said a Florida team. Let's, so let's move we on. Think Florida will win.
And then New York Rangers against, for me, New York Rangers against the Hurricanes. I have the New York Rangers winning.
I said the New York Rangers against the New York Islanders, but I also said New York Rangers would go on.
Okay, sweet. So we are on to the conference finals here.
Mm-hmm.
And Colorado winning it for me over the Vancouver Canucks.
Same.
And then on the Eastern side, conference final, I have New York Rangers winning against the Florida Panthers.
I have New York Rangers winning over Tampa Bay Lightning, but yes.
And then going into the final, Colorado, versus New York Rangers.
The Rangers, yep. Yeah. And we both said.
Analytics here.
The Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, the Colorado Avalanche are going to win.
We'll see.
I know it.
I mean, they're my top pick.
I know it in my heart they will. Only because we're leaving.
Yeah.
When is the last game of, well, when?
It depends.
Oh, that's right.
It's really dependent. That's true. Because
if they have fast series, yeah, you can go fast, quicker.
Because some teams, because I think you only need to win 4 games to win your round. So, say, for example, like I said, the Winnipeg Jets versus Colorado Avalanches, they only need to win 4 games to move on. But it could go 4 until 8 games.
Yeah.
Because they could be...
I thought it's 7 games. It's 7 games.
It was, okay, yeah. I think... No, you are right. Because you want the first to make 4, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So, because... Yeah, you could be going back and forth, and then on that last game, whoever, on that 7th game,
yeah,
whoever wins that 7th game would be the winner, because then that'd be 4.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry, I had to do that, in my head.
So, yeah. So
yeah, it's a little fun, though, guys. I mean, you know.
The Kraken aren't in it, so pick your team that you used to watch before you watched the Kraken.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's the Avalanche for me.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, ultimately, I'm trying not to be attached to a lot of players, even though I've, you know, said... Even though I've, like, you know, said my side of, like, who I like and dislike.
Mm-hmm.
But ultimately, we want to see the Stanley Cup in Seattle, no matter who is a part of that movement. And it's hard to be attached, or it's hard to detach yourself from a player or the players, because, you know, you're watching them and you know about their backstory. And we're going to provide a lot of that for you throughout the coming months before October when the new season starts. So maybe you can, you know, choose your favorite player or not. But just know that players move around all the time.
But the team itself will almost always be there.
The legacy will still be there.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter who's a part of the team. It just matters that the team got the Stanley Cup. And I try to tell myself that. But, you know, it would be sad to see Yamamoto leave. Belmar, thank you so much for helping us, you know, throughout the season.
Yeah, we'll see, though, if he comes back.
We'll see. You know, and a bunch of other people. But, yeah. What's next for us?
Player spotlights. Like you said, this summer, we're going to go through some stories about maybe... hockey history, Washington history. We kind of want to do some more deep dives in
the community. In anything Seattle, anything Washington, just any. And if, you know, we find any of you on the street and you say hi to us, we could have you on the podcast.
I actually saw a guy when I went to go take our dog to the vet today. There was a guy that had a shirt that said, "That's Kraken hockey, baby."
Did you talk to him?
I did not, because I was in the car and he was getting into his car, but I was like, Kraken fan.
Oh my gosh.
It was pretty cool.
In Colorado. That's in
Golden, Colorado, guys.
So once we move and it's just going to be like a bunch of other Kraken hockey players or fans, oh man, it's going to be a good time.
Yeah, that'll be cool.
It's going to be so fun to actually talk about our team to other people.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than hearing the Colorado Avalanche fans tell me.
Because I, let me tell you, always get shit for being a Krakens fan. But you know what?
Always.
I am from Seattle before I was from Colorado. I love Colorado, but people always give me crap. I have a cute little Seattle Kraken pennant that's at my work office station. And everyone's always like, "Kimberly, seriously?" And I'm like... Seattle first, guys.
It is what it is.
It is what it is. But anyways.
Yeah, anyways. Thanks for listening, guys.
What a great season, even though it wasn't what we wanted it to be.
But until next time.
Don't give up the ship.